Good morning, church. How y'all doing? Good. I'm good. I'm here. This is my goal. Here we are, May 9th. It's so good to see you. So good to be in worship with you. Welcome if you are worshiping with us at home, online. We're so glad that you could just join us for this time of worship celebration this morning. Also, very happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are in our midst. You know, it's interesting. This is not a high holy day in the life of a church. It's a cultural holiday. And yet, as Christians, I think we can acknowledge that we're called to sort of rejoice with those who rejoice and also weep with those who weep. Rejoice and honor the mothers who are in our midst and in our lives. And also pray over those who, for today, this is a hard day. This is a hard day for many. Whether it's because this is the first without a mom, or you've lost a mom or lost a child, maybe the relationship is not quite what you would hope with your mother and or child, or maybe you long to be a mother. It's a day that we sort of acknowledge the pain and the celebration all in one. And really, for Christians, I believe it's a day that we can acknowledge that as members of the household of God that we've been talking about, as members of this family together, that we can celebrate all of the women in our midst and the roles that they play of nurturing the faith of everyone around us and all the ways that they help raise up that next generation of disciples here in this faith community. And so I celebrate you today in all of the ways, the women of our church, that you mother and nurture that faith and set the example and lead in that way. So I'm just going to open us up in a simple blessing this morning as we acknowledge the mothers who are in our midst. So let's pray together. Oh God of love, it is such a joy to bless our moms, those who have carried us in their bodies, in their hearts, in their minds, and those who have mothered us in some form or fashion. We thank you for them this morning and honor them, those who we can hug today and those who are now gone or distant from us. So God, I ask that your blessing upon each and on those two who mothering is complicated for, difficult or heartbreaking or incomplete. God, would you bless and heal and restore all of these relationships? That with your creative power, would you rain down your blessing upon them and all of the mothering that we give and that which we have received? That you might be to us the one who nurtures us in your loving embrace as you lead us into your eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. It's a blessing from a former professor of mine, Dr. Kate Bowler, that I thought was just lovely and captured the spirit of the day. Well, this morning we are continuing in our teaching series on Galatians, where we've been talking about this one thing. This one thing that Paul says to the people in Galatia that they need to focus on above anything else. The main thing, he calls it. Keep the main thing. And when you do that, you can experience the joy and blessedness of being a part of this community of faith, this household of God, united together by the power of the Spirit. And Paul says, this is it. This one thing is your faith in Jesus expressing itself in love. If you've been with us for some of the weeks before, we've talked about how this one thing isn't whether you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, even male and female. It isn't whether you follow the works of the law or not. It isn't what you eat. It's whether you have this faith in Jesus Christ. That's what unites us together. That's what allows us to have meals together, to worship together, to share life together. And so we continue in that theme this morning as we turn to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to just read that for us here this morning. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, I've shared with you all sort of briefly before that I'm really enjoying this stage of parenthood with my two, almost three-year-old. I know that's kind of surprising, and I know that in the next 6 months that will probably change. But right now, it's really fun as he's developing his own little sense of humor and personality and just imagination, too. Like, he's telling stories and telling me about things that happened at school. It's a really fun age. But he's also developed a new sort of independence, if you will. That's still kind of cute right now. I know it might change. But right now, his new phrase that he says about 20 times a day is, "No, Mama, I do it. No, Mama, I do it." So whether it's, "Son, let me hold that cup for you so you don't spill it." "No, Mama, I hold it." "Son, let me help you take your coat off." "No, Mama, I do it." A couple days ago, brought him home from school and asked him to take his shoes off. "All right, Logan, it's time to take your shoes off." And I go to take his shoes off. And he stops me and, of course, says, "No, Mama, I do it." And so I stand there and I proceed to watch him as he tugs and pulls and just kind of rolls on the floor to get his shoes off before he's actually unstrapped them or unbuckled them. So he can't do it. He can't do it. And I say, "Logan, may I help you?" "No, Mama." And of course, this his face changes. He's completely defeated, kind of in anguish, as he rolls back and just lays out on the floor on the verge of complete meltdown. It's hard to ask for help, isn't it? It's hard to receive help, no matter what age we are, especially for a little independent two-year-old, almost three. It's hard to ask for help. And yet, in our passage this morning, what Paul is articulating is a kind of community in which we offer and receive help with life's biggest struggles on a very regular basis. It's about being a part of that family and what this means. He's been building up to this all along. Chapter 6 is the last chapter in this letter. He's been building up to this truth all along about how you've been adopted in. You've been justified by your faith. You are a part of this inheritance of this great and powerful Spirit. And now this is what that actually looks like. Chapter 6, this is how it plays out. This is what your community should look like. And so we're going to just kind of take apart those first two verses this morning. Those first two verses that I read for you, and we're going to kind of walk through it pretty quickly. But those two verses and kind of the image of what Paul is trying to capture here, it's a community where we share our burdens, when we bear with one another in love, and even when we correct one another. So I'm going to kind of walk us through. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So that first piece, if anyone is caught in any transgression, he doesn't give any explicit definition here. You're like, "Oh, that could be a lot of things." If anyone is caught in any transgression. Well, we have to understand this in light of Galatians 5, which we're actually going to cover next week. I know that seems like a weird out of order, but Daryl's going to touch on that next week in the fruit of the Spirit, because that's actually the secret to this whole series. Is that it's the Spirit that allows us to live into the life that God intends for us. When we focus on this one thing of our faith expressing itself in love, it's the Spirit that unites, it's the Spirit that empowers us, it's the Spirit that transforms us to live the life marked by the fruit of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. So Paul has spent a lot of time in Galatians 5 talking about the difference between walking in the Spirit and gratifying the desires of the flesh. And he spent a lot of time talking about spirit versus flesh and what that could possibly mean. He actually even lists out some behaviors and some sins that we should all be aware of and try to avoid. And that's when sometimes we like to make that into a list and use that as a measuring stick to determine who's in and who's out. Talked about that a few weeks ago and how it's not how we're supposed to use that. No, it's faith in Jesus Christ. You're in. You belong. Not if you do these things or don't do these things. So that's not the purpose of this list, but it is a basis for us to understand transgression here. These kind of activities, so we list things because we have to consider the whole list or we miss the whole point. The whole list of Paul was referring to is any sort of behavior that harms the community of faith. So it's not just these individual actions, but it's anything that puts the will of the individual or the self or your own personal will above the good of the whole. So he lists things that he means by the works of flesh. Sure, impurity, licentiousness, yes, but also idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, dissensions, factions, envy. All of those are relational things that break down the relationships among a community of people. All things that harm not just ourselves, but more importantly for Paul, those we have committed to be in life with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So any transgression, it's kind of any selfish behavior, could still mean a lot of things, but it takes a community together to discern that. Because you who are spiritual, he says, you who are spiritual, you who are in the Spirit, you who are in the Spirit because of that family, belonging, that identity that we now share. If anyone has any transgressions, you who are in the Spirit. Remember, we talked about last week, you've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. You've been justified by that faith. And now you've received the blessing of this Spirit. So you who have that Spirit, you should restore one another. Restore one another in a spirit of gentleness. All right, it jumped for me, but that's okay. Notice that the word here is restore. Restore one another in a spirit of gentleness. It doesn't say, you know, restore. It doesn't say cast out. It doesn't say judge. It doesn't say dismiss or blame or abandon or hate. It says restore. And the Greek word that you see there, I've shared with you before, because it pops up other places in Scripture too, it's a medical-based term that would mean for healing and restoration. If you have a wound, how is it going to be healed? Well, it must be exposed and fleshed out so it can fully and properly heal. So restoration, restore. Notice it's not excuse, or it's a spirit of gentleness. It's not make excuses for. It's not ignore. It's not cover up. Right? There's real accountability here. But it's in a spirit of gentleness and love and humility. Because you know that in order for a broken bone to properly heal, it must be properly set. You don't ignore it. It's properly set in its right place so it can be restored. That's the goal here. In a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of humility, because keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. All of this should be done in a spirit of humility. Recognize that you are just as vulnerable to temptation as anyone else. Every bit dependent on the grace of God as anyone else. You are no better or holier than anyone else. It's kind of one of those warnings of, so don't fall into that sin of comparison. Wow. At least I'm not as big of a screw-up as that person, right? That's not a spirit of gentleness or humility. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Verse 3 says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Next verse, bear one another's burdens. Now this word burdens here, if you kind of imagine, it means sort of like a heavy weight. A large weightiness to it, a heaviness. You think of a really difficult struggle or challenge or trouble in your life. I like to think of it as those moments in our life where we feel like there's just a huge boulder just like sitting on top of us, and it feels almost impossible to get out from underneath it. Those overwhelming seasons of life when you're just like, I can't handle this all on my own. Or sometimes when we're striving to kind of push maybe a large boulder, like in something that we're trying to do, and we feel like we're in it alone and we need some help, and we're like pushing a metaphorical boulder like up a hill, and you're like, at any moment, this is just going to fall and just roll right over me. That feeling of the expectation that I have to carry this whole thing on my own, my deepest struggle, my most overwhelming emotional, those big things in life. Help one another carry these loads, Paul says. Bear one another's burdens, their weights, their heaviness, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is next. Now, there is a little bit of just a caveat here. It sounds like Paul is contradicting himself in verse 3 when he says, or verse 4, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself, for each will have to bear his own load. So you can ask, okay, how am I supposed to carry one another's burdens but also bear my own load? Like, what is the difference here? Well, he's getting back to that kind of humility and gentleness, and don't be so quick to judge someone else. So you help one another, you carry the load, but you only evaluate and judge yourself. Like, God is still judge. You'll still have to be held accountable for your actions before God. But when it comes to bearing with one another and helping one another, we do so in a spirit of humility and love and gentleness. And watch our own selves as well. Rely on other people to call us out as well, which we'll get to in a second. So you assist one another, but you evaluate before God only yourself. It's kind of the difference between like a big, huge boulder that we're not going to be expected to carry on our own, and then like our own personal little like knapsack, like a backpack, right? That we are able to carry because we are personally responsible, and that's where the judgment is. But we help and assist one another in the process. And so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the end of verse 2. What is the law of Christ? He spent a lot of time in this book of Galatians talking about law. This is the first time Paul has said the phrase law of Christ. We might be tempted to think he's introducing some new rule book here. But he's already told us that Christ has fulfilled the whole law in himself when he died and rose again. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law can be summed up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. The only thing that matters now is our faith in Christ expressing itself through this love, the love that sets us free so that we can love and serve one another. If there's any law now, Paul is saying, it's the law of love in Christ Jesus. If there's any rule book now, it's love and serve and bless one another. And this is how you do that in your community. You bear with one another. You bear your burdens. You correct any transgression with gentleness and humility. And you love one another through it. You know, the first time that I kind of experienced this type of relationship where there was both accountability and bearing of burdens and people just really showing up for me in a way that I hadn't really fully grasped, as I've shared with you before, is when I worked on staff at one of our conference camps. And we were assigned each summer something called an accountability partner. Maybe some of you at certain times have had that in your life. It's pretty common in our Chrysalis and Emmaus circles as well. You have someone that you meet with on a regular basis, you check in with. It's a big part of our Celebrate Recovery ministry, right? That you have someone assigned to you that you meet with on a regular basis. Mine at camp was she became one of my best friends named Kathy. And about one or two times a week, we'd meet together, have breakfast together, share together, pray together. And she was my accountability partner. I trusted her completely. I knew I could share anything with her and she would not see me any differently. There's real freedom there. There's real love there. There was no shame. There was no fear. And I knew that she'd show up. I knew that she'd pray for me. I knew that she'd check back in if I told her I was struggling with something. I'll never forget the day that she just called me out and said, you have a really bad attitude today. About an activity that I had to do, about a person I was assigned to work with that I really didn't want to work with. And she just called me out on it in her very quiet, steady, confident way. and said, "Don't you see this as an opportunity?" And so then I knew that I could trust her with my bigger struggles and sins as well. "Kathy, I'm really struggling with this. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another," said Proverbs 27:17. You know, she pointed me most clearly toward Christ, not because she held me to some like self-improvement plan of all of my goals for the summer and how I wanted to better myself so that I could do and achieve and become kind of a happy, healthier person. No, it wasn't that she held me to some self-improvement plan. Remember, that's sort of works righteousness mentality. But it's because she constantly called me back to the cross of Jesus Christ and the grace that I needed there. That grace was sufficient, that Christ was the source of my strength, that I had opportunities all around me to love and serve others, whether I really liked people or not. And I did, for the most part. It's just, it's really hot. It's a really intense environment, summer heat. And she would just tell me, "You've got a really bad attitude today." It was that grace that humbled and changed and transformed me. You know what the most beautiful thing about that whole relationship was? Is that I did the same thing for her. It was a mutual bearing together of our burdens, of our overwhelmingness, of our struggles, and also calling one another out in a spirit of gentleness and love. You know, this is not the kind of relationship or community that we often see practiced in the world. It's pretty countercultural. I feel like in the world, we're expected to suck it up, to deal with it. Don't complain. Don't bear your burdens. You don't want to be a burden. That's how we're kind of conditioned. Just get it done and achieve. In a world where if we admit struggle or defeat or that we need help with something, it's seen as weakness. Vulnerability is not a good thing in our world. So we become guarded or we become self-dependent and then exhausted. And too often we carry this same mentality over to the church when we are being called right now by Paul and by Christ to an alternate sort of community, to a different way that the world works, because this is the way that we were created to be in relationship together. We were created in the image of God, in the image of perfect community. We are meant to bear one another's burdens. We are meant to share life's deepest struggles and insecurities. It's not a weakness. As our Brené Brown, I haven't mentioned in quite some time. Some people say that I'd like to, consider her a saint, but not yet. As she says, vulnerability and in sharing, that's actually incredibly brave and courageous of us to share our deepest and greatest struggles with trusted people that we know are going to love us no matter what. No matter what. It's the kind of community that Paul calls us to, that Paul calls the Galatians to. It's the kind of community that we hope to be here. That's why we have our renovation groups. That's why we have our band accountability groups. That's why we have Celebrate Recovery. We say that our renovation groups are the backbone or the lifeblood of this church, where we do life together in smaller groups together. We share meals together, where we serve together, where we study together, where we pray intensely together. It's in that group where we can bear one another's biggest struggles and where we can correct one another and restore one another in a spirit of gentleness. That's why we have these renovation groups. It's in these groups where we can share that those seasons when our hope might be wavering. Those seasons when we really worry that the kids are just not okay and we have no idea what we're doing. It can be in that group where we receive help when we're sick, when we're struggling, and we show up with meals and with prayer and just with our presence. It's when we can admit that our marriage is really failing and we need some help. It's when we can admit that we've fallen back into some old patterns of sin and we need prayer, or maybe we've relapsed, or maybe just the weight of it all in this world has gotten to be too much. Do you have some of these people in your life? I haven't in always every season of mine, but it's something that we are passionate about here. Do you have some of those people who will listen and pray and bear your burdens? The ones that will call you out in love, tell you when you're not doing good at your job. Tell you when there's more faithful ways that we can be expressing our love and our faith in Jesus Christ together. You know, I know that many of our house groups have continued to meet throughout this weird year. Some have done so faithfully. Some remain, continue to study. Some have taken a break. Some are preparing to take a break this summer. But I want to challenge and encourage you that this is our time to reconnect. This is our time this season and this summer to regather in safe ways and creative ways. Whether you've been meeting together or not, I would encourage you to keep doing so through the summer, maybe just for fellowship. Maybe just to go to the zoo or to gather for a backyard picnic, to get the whole families together. This is our time to regather and to regroup and to revive any of those house groups that may have fallen out of practice or may not be meeting. And hey, if you don't have one and you're interested in joining one, reach out. Reach out to me and Matt Bauer. And between the two of us, in the next several weeks, we'll try and get you connected and plugged in. We'll relaunch more in the fall. That's when they usually start back up. But if you don't have people like this in your life where you feel like you can just be your total, complete self without judgment, without shame, to be loved in spite of it all, to be restored back to relationship with one another, we'd love for you to join one of our house groups. We'd also love for you to attend Celebrate Recovery. That's here every Wednesday throughout every season. And all are welcome there. All are welcome. Anyone who has any hurts, hang-ups, or habits. You are welcome there. Because this is how we are meant to be together. This is how we are meant to be in relationship together. So I encourage you, just in this next season, as we kind of, Memorial Day weekend's coming up, we'll transition to summer, people will be traveling. This is our opportunity this summer to regather, to encourage one another again, to reconnect. And you're going to hear of a lot more opportunities throughout the summer of some other church-wide fellowship events. Our Village Ministry is going to be offering some meetup, walking in the park, fellowship events. We'll have a birthday party. We really encourage our house groups to do some fellowship things as well. This is our opportunity, and I hope you take it up. And please reach out to me, talk to me, if you are interested in learning more about many of these opportunities and ministries in the life of our church, because you deserve this kind of love and freedom. Everybody needs a Kathy. My sweet Kathy. Everybody needs that in their life to point us back toward the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are, for the ways that you continue to be at work among us, for the ways that you call us to be an alternate sort of countercultural way where we can be vulnerable, we can admit when we need help. We can say, this is just too heavy for me right now. And there's no shame in that. There's no weakness in that. There's only strength and there's only love. Because as scripture says, Lord, when we are weak, you are strong. And it's your spirit and it's your love and it's your grace that binds us together and unites us to be this kind of community. So God, would you bless and lead us now, we pray. Anyone who may be seeking or searching for this kind of belonging, for this kind of connection, God, we pray boldness and courage for them to say, hey, I need help, and that's okay. Would you give us opportunities today, this week, and in the weeks to come to reconnect with one another, to help us to know that we are loved in spite of it all. And may we so reflect your great love for us. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, sir. I feel like I've had to give myself a head start the last couple of weeks. Get up a little bit sooner than I usually do. So good to be in worship with you all. So many opportunities coming your way that we can connect, that we can fellowship, that we can remind one another of the love that we share, that we are here for one another, that you are not alone, and that you deserve someone in your life who's going to love you enough to bear your burden and to call you out in gentleness and love. And that's what we can offer here. That's what we do offer here at Revolution Church. So I hope you take us up on some of these opportunities coming up. I tell you, if I don't have a baby, I'm going to be there on Saturday, but we'll see. I don't know. I don't think we're going to make it till then. This was my goal, and now he's welcome. At noon, I've said at noon, he's been very well behaved so far. He is now welcome. I'm excited to meet him. And excited to share with you guys the news at any point. Thank you for your love and support. I still don't have a name, but we will share it with you soon. We don't know. But church, this is our chance. This is our chance to keep being the church, to be the revolution, to love and serve one another as we focus on that faith in Jesus Christ as it expresses itself in love among us and in our community. So let's keep that up, and let's be the revolution. Amen. Go in peace.
Anita's going to come.
Oh, no.
So if you'll join me in a quick prayer. Father, thank you so much for Rachel, for her service to this church, to this church family. Thank you for her family, and thank you for this new addition that's coming. I pray, Lord, for a safe delivery. I pray that you will be with them every step of the way, and I pray that you will bless their family, and that you will bless her maternity leave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Be the revolution.